You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Woo, 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 woo! Woo, 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 woo!
All right, John. So you're still in Denver, obviously, with Al. Mace, Slee says to me, hey, you got to ask Ireland about this when we do Super Crosstalk.
Okay, what's going on?
Slee, do you want to set it up again? Because this was your first experience there. John, he was saying that you guys are basically like in the belly of the beast when it comes to Denver fans. You're the only media members in your particular spot.
Yeah, well, it's kind of, this is a little bit inside, but we're not supposed to be where we are.
Huh.
We're super high up. But because ESPN Radio is doing all these games, they took our courtside spot.
Oh.
And so the rule is, in general, that you're supposed to treat the visiting team as good as you treat the home team in terms of radio.
Right.
But in this case, the Nuggets ignored that, put their guys courtside, and stuck Slee, Michael, and I literally on the roof.
Wow.
But we are not complaining. We're making it work. But if you're looking for another reason to root against the Nuggets, there's another one.
Yeah, screw them. Screw them.
Well, it's also Mace getting in and out of there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just – John, it was – I'm basically telling myself I'm one step away from falling onto the table and taking out the entire broadcast.
Really? It's that –
Yeah, and there aren't actual seats. It's a bench, and so...
No, this is getting worse the more you describe it.
The bench is Jesse, our engineer, Slee, me, and then Michael basically sitting on top of a printer.
Wow.
And I'll say this. Slee, I don't know if you agree with me. I woke up this morning. It was just an unbelievable game.
The atmosphere is amazing.
One of the most spectacular, star-studded performances I've ever seen. Think about this. LeBron was one assist away from a triple-double, yep. And no one noticed.
Yeah.
Because Jokic was so unbelievable, and AD actually awesome. Ended up outscoring him. And both teams shot 55%.
Yeah.
And the Lakers had I know this sounds crazy, and you guys are all going to say, well, Ireland, you're just being a homer. I know the Lakers lost, but I feel great about this.
So this is where I want to start, John.
I think this is big.
I heard the promo that you made. I heard what you said. Al and I have been saying the same thing today, that this was the oddest thing to have a game that felt like two or three different times they were going to get blown out.
Sure.
Not just lose.
They were down 20
something. They were on their way, Trav.
That's what I mean.
Two or three.
It felt like there was a couple, at least three different times where it's like, all right, this is going to be a 25, 30-point night.
Right, right.
And just, you know, when do you get LeBron out? When do you get AD out?
I was thinking that.
When do you flip over to the Dodger game for those of us that are at home?
Sure.
And they just kept hanging around, and then they got a little bit hotter. Denver cooled off a little bit. You correct me if I'm wrong here. I don't remember a game that the team we all wanted to win lost, felt like they were about to get blown out, and everybody's like, yeah, no, I feel good about what happened yesterday.
No, I mean, obviously the Lakers learned some stuff in that comeback, and they also pierced this Denver inevitability thing that they must have been feeling.
I mean, or invincibility.
Invincibility, yeah. Invincibility. Now Denver says, oh, no, they were able to chip away on us. They're going to play with us. This is going to be a real series. Had they been blown out by 25 points, I think Denver is rolling confidently at that point.
And there were so many things late in the game where, and Michael actually said it in the broadcast. He said, if Denver loses this game,
it'd be over.
Cripple them.
Yes, it would have been devastating.
There has been no, and all three of us, me and Slee and Michael, were all saying the whole night, we have never felt like the Lakers are going to win this game. It just seemed like Denver's game from the beginning because they got off to that unbelievable start. And then once the Lakers started making adjustments, you thought, okay, which one of these is the better team now?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell anymore. And I'm fascinated to see what's going to happen. I think do you guys agree with me? They got to start Rui.
Yeah,
Rui's
got to start.
They can't go small anymore.
No, I mean, the part of it that bugged me was, obviously, the first quarter, I think they were out-rebounded 100-3 or whatever
yep,
it was.
Pretty close.
Right. And it was in part because of that small lineup. And then Darvin came back with the small lineup to start the second half, which I didn't understand at all.
Right.
They got too cute. I didn't understand. Mace, you're right. The lineup that they started yesterday was a lineup that they had against the Warriors because the Warriors basically had four guards out there.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're going to see it again, but I'm with you. That was a little confusing, especially and John, we were looking at end of the first quarter. I'm like, I got to look at it. Is it 22-6 in rebounding?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was 10-1 in offensive rebounds. They gave up 72 points in the first half. That was really odd.
And you got a guy like Austin Reeves trying to guard Michael Porter Jr., who's like
five inches taller.
Yeah.
John, is there a time that you remember? I mean, you can lose a playoff game and feel like, all right, we're still in the series. Not a big deal. It's one game and you move on. But is there another one you remember where people were as bullish on the losing team after a game?
No, and it's because of the comeback. Now, what I want Laker fans to be aware of, though, is the Nuggets are going to adjust, too.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And Jokic is like a basketball genius.
He's unbelievable.
So, by the way, can you guys explain, if you were explaining Jokic to someone who'd never seen him play, you would say, well, he can't jump.
Nope.
He's not fast.
Nope.
He's kind of dumpy.
He kind of looks awkward. He's kind of a loaf-looking guy.
Yep.
Yeah, he looks like a loaf.
He has the same body fat as me.
Banana, zucchini,
same BMI.
And you say, well, is he like a freight train like LeBron? Does he like get out on the brick? No. Well, then how does he do what he does? He's just like unbelievably smart and knows exactly what his limitations are. And the amazing thing about him is he doesn't care. If he assists, if he scores, if he gets a rebound, he'll tap it to the net. He's completely unselfish. Trav, you know who he is? Mm. He's Bill Walton.
Bill Walton is the comp, I think.
And Walton was, I never saw Walton at his peak.
Great passer.
I only remember Walton kind of as the Clipper / Celtic where he was hobbled and everything else, but was always a great passer, very, very smart. But in my mind, wasn't Walton a lot more athletic than Jokic?
Yes, and ran the court better.
Yeah.
Okay, so I said all those negative things about Jokic. He'll get a rebound and bring the ball up.
Yeah.
You know, he's just...
He'll drop threes. I mean, he had that one crazy, at the buzzer three that went in.
Mace,
I mean,
okay, so
that's when you thought... And
prayer.
I loved Anthony Davis looking at
him.
What are
you going
to
do?
I said that to Slee last night. All right, so think about this. The Lakers lost by 6.
Yep.
Okay?
By the way, the line was 6.5.
Yeah, you made a little mythical money.
Yeah.
But think about it. Jokic doesn't hit that three you're talking about, which was a complete prayer. AD defended
it perfectly.
And then
didn't Murray have another one?
Right,
the
next possession.
Yeah. LeBron did the same thing, played perfect defense, and because he had the shot clock expiring, Murray had to throw it up, and it went in. Those shots don't go in, and they shouldn't have.
Lakers win.
And we're going overtime. Yeah, I mean, it's – now, if I'm being fair, Austin Reeves banked in a three in the first half, so we had a lucky one too, but I'm just saying, like that mad scrum where it looked like they were going to call a jump ball, and the Lakers had all the momentum, and KCP comes out of there with it, no whistle, throws it ahead to Murray, and he throws it to Gordon. And Slee will back me up on this. The building just exploded when Gordon threw that in. I mean, it took the Nuggets from being on their heels and scared to, oh, okay, we just got momentum back. And I really thought – with 3 minutes to go, if you go back and listen to me call those last 3 minutes, I thought the Lakers were winning the game. I thought they had everything in their favor. Austin Reeves has found his shot, and I thought they've got this figured out, and they just ran out of time.
And LeBron took a terrible shot.
Yeah, terrible shot.
I think the Nuggets baited him into that because Reeves had hit two in a row, and if you go back and look at that play, they left LeBron open at the three-point line. And kind of dared him to take that and stayed on Reeves.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to take the three, Reeves would have been the right guy to take the three, but
for sure.
LeBron should have taken the ball to the basket and potentially drawn the foul.
In the last 20 years, has there been anything that's more unguardable than LeBron with a head of steam going to the basket?
Yeah.
Okay, but think about this, guys. If he does that, all right, we were down three.
Yep.
And I think there were 20 seconds left.
Mm-hmm.
So we're playing the foul game at that point.
Yes.
I think they let him go to the basket and dunk it. And so now we're down one, and we foul them. And the Nuggets were just great at the free throw line all night. So I don't – eventually we were going to have to take a three. So if that was an open three, I can live with it.
So early in the clock.
They played
– way too early.
They played so bad at the start of that game. It was so unlike the Lakers have been in the play. They've been the best defensive team in the playoffs, and they gave up 72 first half points.
Was it altitude? Was it just they got ambushed? Was the effort not there?
I mean, the matchups weren't right. That's part of it. The matchups weren't right.
I agree with that.
That's fair. And the other thing was, Slee, I don't know about you, but I don't know if I've ever seen a team more ready to start a playoff
game. They hit everything.
Denver was. They came out and just, they were, even on shots where they were running to the basket and getting dunks, if the first guy didn't dunk it, there was another guy right behind him,
yeah,
like ready to follow it up. They just played great.
You know what I loved about that last night was, you know, when the Lakers play, they often have shirts on the chairs, you know, gold shirts or yeah, towels or whatever. And, you know, the people, the cool kids on the court side, they never wear the shirts.
Well, because they're wearing a $400 Tom Hardy t-shirt. Right.
In Denver, there were courtside people wearing those ugly maroon t-shirts. They actually put them on.
Right.
That's the difference.
That's what you do in L.A.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a non-L.A. thing.
In New York, they're not putting on the T-shirt.
No.
In Los Angeles, they're not putting on the T-shirt.
Mace, are you a mascot guy? Because I think this goes right into it as well, right? Trav, you were yeah, saying that certain markets, they're not messing around with a mascot.
Yeah,
very few
sure,
big
yeah,
cities mess
Denver
with mascots.
Denver has a good mascot.
They do. Rocky is
but
awesome.
Denver should have a mascot. Denver should be wearing the T-shirts.
Right.
L.A., Los Angeles, Miami, we'll be mascotless. We'll be T-shirtless.
Right.
We'll let Jack Nicholson and Denzel Washington be the eye candy for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Their crowd was insane, you guys. And I hope if you have tickets to Game 3 on Saturday or Game 4 on Monday that you're bringing it. Because part of it was they haven't had home court advantage against – they've played the Lakers 7 times in the playoffs. They're 0-7. They've never had home court in any of the 7 series. This is the 8th. It's the first time they've had home court. It's the first time they've been a number one seed, and their crowd just ate it up.
Yeah.
They could not. We looked around at one point. Michael and Slee and I looked around, and there were zero empty seats, like none anywhere in the whole building. And they were all standing up the whole time.
By the way, didn't it feel like they were last couple of minutes left? Nuggets were feeling some of that pressure.
Their crowd was feeling
that pressure. Everyone was just like, wait a minute. They played basically 44 minutes of good basketball, and they're about to lose it in the last four
I
minutes.
Think that's one of the takeaways, Al, is that once it got tight, the Lakers were far more comfortable in that environment than the Nuggets were. The Nuggets looked like this is the first time we've been squeezed in a really long time, and they didn't quite know how to respond to it. That play you were talking about, John, where the little scrum under the Lakers basket and then the Nuggets get a run out, a lob, and a dunk to kind of ice the game at that point. They were so nervous prior to that the Lakers get that ball, even if it's a jump, even if the Nuggets get the ball back and have to run another possession, I don't think they get a bucket right there. That felt like everything, mostly because of how tight Denver had played for the previous
yeah,
3 or 4 minutes.
Well, I thought when I was in the elevator with a couple of the coaches last night after the game, and I thought that they were going to say rebounding is the one major thing that they have to fix. But they both said transition defense is got to.
They
get
weren't
better.
Getting they back weren't. On transition defense.
Van Gundy was hammering them on that.
Yeah,
19-6 Denver. But in the second half, that basket, Trav, that you're talking about was the only one they got.
Mm. Yeah.
So it was all in the first. Whatever adjustments the Lakers made at halftime, they all worked. And I'm with you guys. I don't know why they started the small lineup to start the second half.
Yeah, that just didn't make any sense to me.
But once they figured it out, like towards the end of the third quarter, when they went on that 11-0 run,
yep,
and then Jokic, I couldn't believe when that three went in. Because
yeah,
it took
I
know. The lead from 11-14. And so we start the fourth quarter down 14. And I kept saying during the games, I go, folks, I know it sounds like this game's over, but it's not.
I
can tell. The Lakers are making hay here. They figured some things out. Jokic has calmed down. AD is unstoppable
yep,
offensively. And I think the Lakers have a real chance here, and they just ran out of time.
Well, that whole idea of these two guys are going to cancel each other out, there was never a better example than last night when AD and
Jokic
were both unbelievable and canceled each other out.
So what happens tonight when Slee shows up at your fancy dinner, John?
Oh, did he get into the Michael Johnson dinner?
Slee is in. Michael's brother Andy had to drop out. He had to go home.
Oh, so Slee gets the seat.
So does Slee pay for himself? Does he have to pay for the table? Does he get the first one on the house with you guys?
Slee is about to realize what I've known for about 5 years. Michael Thompson's the most generous person in the media. No one else is even close.
That's nice. That's
Michael
nice.
Won't let you pay.
What if he
asks
for two checks?
Yeah, why don't you Venmo him $40 after dinner?
He
Michael, let me Venmo you.
No. I didn't have any of the appetizer, so I'm just going to chip
in. Don't you have a, I didn't drink tonight.
I didn't drink any of
the
wine.
So put the wine.
Doesn't everybody have a friend like this, like we're describing? I have a friend in high school that fits this to a T. Like, yeah, my share was $7.50, and I only had one beer,
I didn't have an appetizer, and I didn't drink, and therefore you're a pain in the
everybody's
ass.
Everybody's throwing in a credit card, and we're spending it evenly.
Yeah, exactly.
Tough, you know
that's
what.
The way it goes.
Super Crosstalks, powered by In-N-Out Burger. That's what a hamburger is.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Good afternoon. So, all that stuff Morales just said. I mean,
if they do lose, do you think it's a wrap?
I think it's uphill. I don't think it's a wrap, but I think it's uphill.
I don't think it's a wrap until it's actually a wrap. Here's what I would be willing to bet a lot of money on, and I'm not allowed to even bet mythical money.
Of course.
One of you guys should take this.
This is proverbially betting. Is that right? Proverbial?
Yeah. One of you guys should jump on this.
Okay.
This series is going at least 6 and probably 7. At least 6 and probably 7. That's how close these
Jorge is holding up 7 fingers. Yeah. He believes it's a 7.
I think so. After yesterday?
Yeah. You guys, it was so fun.
Yeah.
So fun. Oh, they almost pulled it off.
Yep.
It was like the end of Friday Night Lights, the movie. You know,
they didn't quite score.
They were driving down the field, and you thought, "Oh, here it comes! They're gonna shock the world and steal it." And they just couldn't get over.
Can I tell you though? Just as a total aside, that's one of the best things about Friday Night Lights is that they don't score. It's
at the end.
It's just a more emotional that
and
way.
By the way, don't come at us. We know the TV show ended differently.
Right? Yeah, the TV show was its own.
Yeah, this was we're talking
thing,
about
yeah.
the movie.
They could actually win in 5.
I want to dunk this in before we get back to the game. At Dodger Stadium, Dustin May left the game in the first inning with elbow pain after, I think it was 16 pitches.
16 pitches, right elbow pain, and that's the same elbow that he had the Tommy John surgery on.
Oh, boy.
And they do not have depth in that starting rotation.
They do not.
It's not like last year. Hello, Ryan Pepio. Hello, Gavin Stone.
Yeah.
Hello,
if he's out,
market.
Honestly, if he's out, they need to go make a move for a pitcher.
That, without any question.
Completely
they
agree
need
with
to
you.
Do it ASAP. ASAP.
By the way, the Dodgers are leading 2-1, but the big news is Dustin May.
Yeah, yeah. So, I had Nikola Jokic on my fantasy basketball team a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And so I observed him filling up box score after box score after box score. He is literally a walking triple-double. But to see him, and I don't see a lot of Denver games, to see him is a totally different experience. He is, he's the best player in the league, isn't he?
I think he's the best center in the league. It's either him or Embiid. And he's just more consistent.
Yeah.
And the thing about Jokic is, he doesn't miss games like these other guys. You know, AD misses a lot of games. Embiid misses a lot of games.
And Jokic is just a horse. He keeps going.
He's a tank, man.
He's the best center. Who's the best player?
I just can't say enough positive things about Jokic. I'm stunned he's able to control the game with that athletic ability or lack thereof. I mean, Mace, you can jump higher than him.
Yeah, no, he does not have a great vertical. But and you know, did you see what Jokic said about Anthony Davis after the game?
No.
He is one of the most talented players in the game. That's all he said. which is cool and classy. It doesn't make headlines or anything like that. But, I mean, I don't know how you could look at Anthony Davis and not think that is, I mean, what we saw last night was AD at his very best. And for a chunk of that game, he was also covering the guy who might be the best player in the game in Nikola Jokic and still was able to do what he did.
Could you believe, like, the star performances in that game were just tremendous? Jokic, great. Jamal Murray, great. AD, great. LeBron, like, I just got a tweet. Tim in the OC. Ireland will never blame LeBron. LeBron can literally score for the other team, and John will just ignore it. Do you guys realize we wouldn't even have been in that game without LeBron?
We wouldn't be where we are without LeBron.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't. I mean, there were two plays at the end where you could take back, but really? Really, Tim and the OC? This is when you pick to rip LeBron?
Yeah, really?
When
Tim
he's
and the
one
OC?
Assist away from a triple double and almost brought the Lakers back from the greatest individual performance in a Western Conference Finals game I have ever seen from Jokic. I mean, look at his numbers. 34, 21, 14. Normally, and the Nuggets shoot 55% from the field and 47% from three, and the Lakers almost won. Do you think we get there without LeBron?
I think what Tim's trying to say is not so much that LeBron wasn't great, because he was. LeBron is always this great, but
no,
when he does something,
LeBron for the loss.
No. He's saying that you're not saying something negative. You can say when there is something that he does that you don't agree with, like that shot
that he took.
It was a bad shot.
Yeah.
When he turned the ball over twice at the end of the game, that was bad. That was a mistake. When he didn't actually run back down the court and try and get on defense after he turned over the ball over, that was a bad play. That's not his fault.
It was still an unbelievable performance by LeBron despite those
exactly
what you're pointing out.
By the way, LeBron, you have to point out the bad along with the good.
LeBron is 10 years older than any of these dudes, than Murray, than Jokic, than AD, than all of them, and he's still impacting. I mean, the Nuggets had six guys score in double figures, including all five starters, and the Lakers almost won.
Yeah.
I mean, It's going to be a great series.
Did you agree with the three-pointer at the top of the key from LeBron?
At the end of the game?
Yes.
I wish he would have given it to Reeves.
Yeah. Reeves was hot.
You wouldn't have preferred him going to the basket, trying to get two?
No,
you don't need
I
a three in that situation.
That.
I don't think
because
you need a three.
We were. Why not? You're down three.
You're down three, but there's still like 40 seconds left.
Point.
Right.
There's,
so, okay, we'll
there's
play
plenty
it out
of time.
From,
so you're okay, so you're it's 45 seconds left. 45 seconds left, right? You're down by three. You can get to the basket,
LeBron
get a two, and still only
down
one.
Foul,
yeah.
You
right.
still need a
still
three.
Plenty of time.
Yeah, right, but they were making all their free throws. So you'd be down three again. You're just you're putting off the inevitable.
But then Jokic then went down and missed a free throw.
He did. You're right.
Yeah, it just seems to me that they dug too big of a hole in the first half to climb out of it in the second half, but they almost pulled it off.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. It was a great game. It was a great game. And I think that, you know, and we'll talk a lot about this as we move through the show, but obviously the thing that changed the dynamic was Rui Hachimura on Nikola Jokic for a big stretch of that game and bodied him up. Didn't stop him by any stretch of the imagination, but when Hachimura is on Nikola Jokic, it allows Anthony Davis to be more of a roamer. He's got, Aaron Gordon, I think, was sort of his primary cover. But he was able to swoop in and make some plays in the key, too. I just think, ultimately, Hachimura was the key ingredient that allowed them to make that comeback.
Well, you said that didn't shut him down?
Yeah.
He kind of did. Jokic only scored 3 points in the fourth quarter, all on free throws.
Oh, okay. There you go.
He went 0-for-2 with two turnovers. Now, here's the thing that Laker fans would make a mistake if they assume that you can just go back to Rui guarding Jokic and that the Nuggets won't adjust back. So I think what you're going to see is if the Lakers try that, and because what was key to it was Rui was guarding Jokic one-on-one, bothering him, but then when Jokic got near the rim, AD came over and doubled
swooped
him.
In, exactly.
So what they're going to do is they're going to move Aaron Gordon out to the perimeter.
Oh, so they take
the Warriors
Aaron Gordon
did the same
the
thing.
Perimeter.
Yeah, and that way Rui has to guard Jokic one-on-one, and let's see how he does. But the Lakers, so this is going to be a cat-and-mouse game. They're going to counter back and forth. You could put LeBron on Jokic.
Well, you could put multiple guys on Jokic. You could send multiple guys at him. Like the Tristan Thompson thing is not the worst idea in the world. The Tristan Thompson go use six fouls thing. You know, they had obviously Dwight Howard 3 years ago or 2020 in the bubble, and they were able to use those fouls. I don't know that it's the worst idea that you don't throw Tristan Thompson in there to use six.
I don't think they will. You know, both teams only played eight guys.
I know, eight guys, very tight rotation.
I think that you should expect that for most of the series. And if you look at the minutes played, you know, Jokic well into the 40s, AD into the 40s. I mean, it's going to be that way for the whole series.
All right, coming up next for you, Momo is here. She just finished her big TV gig and on NBA Today, and she's going to give us her take on what happened last night. Don't forget, we are on the YouTube today. Go to YouTube ESPN LA. Watch the YouTube live stream presented by LAFD. Go to joinlafd.org for more information. Mason, Ireland, day after the Lakers lose game one in Denver. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I think Morales has a bad attitude. This is just me. It's like the hope and the fear. It seems like he's living more in the fear than he is in the hope. Which
well, that
is
sounds
annoying.
Like Chris.
That is
he
Chris.
Likes to stir things up.
Yes, he does. Momo,
we call him Morales around
in.
Here.
What's that?
We call him Morales around these parts.
What did I call him?
Chris.
Oh, Morales.
He's Morales. He's Morales.
Oh, yeah, it's all no about branding. Cares. The Nepo baby Morales.
Oh, man.
If it weren't for Mucho, there'd be no Morales.
Wow.
So Momo, how you doing? What surprised you last night?
I guess I was surprised at how the energy was early on. Like, it's not like they just came off the series with the Warriors. They've had plenty of time to get ready for this.
Yeah.
Recover, get ready, et cetera. And, like, this is the Western Conference Finals. And everybody, you know, I saw everybody tweeting about the altitude and the I don't know, John, you're there. Did you? It just seemed like
I don't think the altitude had anything to do with it.
By the way, the altitude, John, is really high in the arena too. Is the altitude different for where you're broadcasting from where it is on the floor, John?
No, we just have an oxygen tank.
An oxygen tank. There you go.
Well, it was like they came out with a 3-guard lineup.
Yeah.
And so the Warrior series, the Lakers were just bigger and stronger than the Warriors.
Right.
And in this series, when you trot out the 3-guard lineup, you're smaller and less athletic than you're more athletic.
And that lineup got trounced.
Yeah, they got trounced. And how many rebounds did Denver have in the first quarter?
103. It was 103-3.
Yeah. I mean, they're playing volleyball.
The rebounds, to make your point, Ramon, at one point the rebounds, I'm not making this number up. It was 22-6.
Okay, so I heard John Ireland on the call of this first quarter.
Yes.
I was driving in my car home from getting my hair done.
Right.
My hair did.
Yeah.
And, John was like, Nikola Jokic has 12 rebounds. That's twice as many as the entire Laker team.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had 12, the Lakers had 6, and the Nuggets had 22.
That's so weird.
So when they went bigger, when the Lakers went bigger, Ramona, and this is why I'm actually encouraged after this loss, when they went bigger, it kind of neutralized that. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to get the rebounding thing under control. But Denver is going to counter-adjust. They're not going to just let Rui Hachimura do what he wants defensively to Jokic. So I'm very anxious to see what these two staffs come up with for Thursday, because I think it's going to be a series of adjustments. It was a really, really fun game to call and to be at.
They almost stole that game. Like, there's no world in which the Lakers should have won that game, and yet
Correct.
They almost did.
And by the way, I think that would have broken Denver. Oh. It would have broken them.
Michael said the same thing, Mace. He said that if the Nuggets blow this game, where everything has gone right, it will cripple them. They will be. They won't know what the hell hit them, and the Lakers just couldn't get over the hump in the end.
Well, LeBron settling for three on that last shot was
just not right.
I mean, John, what did you make of that with Jamal Murray on him, giving him 5 feet, daring him to shoot, and he just doesn't even try to drive and get fouled.
Thought they were going to have to take a three at some point. I kind of wish it would have been Reeves because he had hit.
Oh yeah,
had hit two threes in that late fourth quarter stretch, and Denver kind of gave that to LeBron. I don't know if they would have got a better look at a three. Like Greg was arguing that he should have gone to the hoop, cut it to one,
and maybe drawn the foul.
And well, that's a big if. They were letting him play on both ends. They didn't call a lot of fouls, but maybe you do that. But both teams were hot from three in that game. They both shot. The Nuggets shot 47%. The Lakers shot 46%.
Right.
So I didn't have as big of a problem with it as other people do. Defense is where I was surprised. The Lakers have been the best defensive team in the playoffs. If you would have told me that they were going to give up 132 points, I would have taken the bet with any amount of money that you would have wanted to put on it. They just hadn't done that. As a matter of fact, that was the highest scoring Western Conference game since 1987.
Wow.
When Detroit beat Boston. But the 258 combined points was insane.
It was just
incredible shot making by both teams.
Hey, I got one. I did some math. Okay. So we're talking about the big two for each team, and Jamal Murray and Jokic versus LeBron and AD. Listen to this. LeBron and AD, 66 points on 23 of 39. Jokic and Murray, 65 points on 24 of 37.
Yeah, that, unbelievable.
That, I mean, so evenly matched. So evenly matched.
And so, I was making that point yesterday, Momo, that I think Jokic and AD are going to cancel each other out in this series, so it's going to be the other guys that kind of make up for it. And I thought Jamal Murray was the best other guy.
Yeah, I think that's right. Well, historically, when teams have beaten the Nuggets, it's they kind of just let Jokic do his thing. They let him score, and they try to stop everybody else. Because there's a recognition like you really can't stop Jokic, so you just have to contain everybody else. And the Lakers eventually got to that place. They just said, okay, we're going to put Rui on him, and we're going to save AD to defend the rim, stay inside,
before you came in that I think the adjustment the Nuggets make is they drag Aaron Gordon out to the perimeter and not let AD lurk in front of the rim. And so then the Lakers are going to have to counter back. They'll either have to put AD back on Jokic or somebody else has to come help Rui. Maybe
or they just don't guard Aaron Gordon, let him shoot threes.
Right, which is not the worst idea in the world.
No, not a terrible idea.
All right, so Mom, I want to ask you about something else.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed that Victor Wembanyama ended up in San Antonio.
Oh, no.
I know.
Okay, go ahead.
Here's
go ahead.
Why. We're never going to get to see this guy's personality now. He's never going to be on the cover of magazines. He's never going to do endorsements. He's going to become Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili. He's going to into the military system of the Spurs.
Yeah.
He'll be a great player.
That's
a really good take. I agree with you. Obviously, it's not a very individualistic organization.
So, obviously I talked to Brian Windhorst a lot. He's been flying over there.
Yeah.
And good for him, by the way. Like,
he's in France,
people were
right?
making fun of Wendy for a 70-second interview, but what people don't understand, and Momo, you know this because you followed Ronda Rousey to all corners of the globe. What Windhorst did by going to Paris, and obviously ESPN paid for it, but Brian had to agree to go, was really smart because now he's going to be Wemby's guy. You know, he's building relationships.
Wemby and Wendy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's building relationships with Victor and his whole family. And even though he only did a short interview, I think the trip was worth it because now he's on the inside.
Are you guys ready for a rant? Can I go on a rant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feeling like a rant on a Wednesday?
Yeah,
let's do it. What if I told you? Rant time.
Rant.
It shocks me how little people who cover sports media actually understand about sports media. Like, there are now stories being written about reaction on Twitter to something. Like, so-and-so says something and Twitter roasted them. And you're like, but the people on Twitter don't know anything. Brian Windhorst wrote a whole story about Victor Wembanyama leading into the lottery. He wrote a story last night. Yes, it was only 70 seconds, but his relationship building that he did by flying there twice now and meeting everyone around Wembanyama is going to pay dividends for the next 15 years for totally ESPN and Brian Windhorst. That's how you actually do the job. And yet we have people writing and ripping him and going on Twitter who don't know anything about sports.
But Momo, do you
Is that good rant?
Good rant.
I agree with everything you said.
We got the circus music going.
Thank you.
It was good.
Rant time.
Momo, do you disagree with me that it's bad he went there?
That's a good point. I didn't think about that, and it's a good take, John. I like it. If we're on first take, should I take the other side, though?
Yes.
I was really hoping that the Spurs would get him because they're the only one of those four franchises that I trust to not mess him up.
I think that's fair, too.
That's another good point. Like, yeah, and Pop, you know, if you want to entrust your career to somebody, look at Tim Duncan, look at David Robinson. Pop turned them both into Hall of Famers.
Tony Parker had a whole career with the Spurs.
Plus, Pop is not going to be there forever.
Well, he might now.
I mean,
now there's a reason to stay.
Might coach
right.
10 more years. Okay, look, I know a little about Wembanyama because Brian's been telling me all this stuff. He's like a real Frenchie. Like, he's into wine and he's into
art. They call him Frenchies. Brian Windhorst is a Frenchie.
No.
Oh, okay.
Brian Windhorst is the opposite. Okay. Brian goes to Paris and he's like, "Can I get some steak and potatoes?"
Yeah, right. Okay.
And they're like, "That's called poivre au vin or coq au vin or whatever." Yeah. He's like, "Well, I don't want any of that. I just want some sandwich."
So Wemby is a very
meat
French
and potatoes.
Guy. Yeah.
Wemby is into art. He reads a lot.
He's been
into
the
music.
Louvre.
Yeah, he's been to. Yeah, and he knows how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
And he's like, he has this. What's the guy's name? Keith Sharon, I think, is his favorite artist. Like, it's not just, "Oh, I like Basquiat," or "Oh, I like Picasso." He has like interesting cultural tastes, and
I do too. I like Van Gogh. Isn't that?
I mean, that's kind of like a pretty classic
answer. You
think
everybody says that?
Yeah. Who's your favorite artist? Van Gogh.
Van Gogh was crazy, so it makes sense why you like him.
He painted portraits of. I went to a museum where every picture was a portrait of Vincent Van Gogh. He's just painting his own portrait.
Yeah, well, that's what you would do.
No, you're right. Actually, that's why
that
I like Van
Gogh. That Van
Gogh
Museum is good. I've been to it too. The one in Amsterdam.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
But like, Victor is an interesting guy. He's kind of European. Like, he's into culture. And like, when Powell was on the Lakers, he did a cookbook where he's cooking paella, and you got to see like cool Powell because he played in LA and he was with Phil Jackson, who didn't mind him talking. But you're right. When he goes to San Antonio, it will just be a whole lot.
All the Frenchiness is going to be killed.
Or just hidden behind team dinners.
Yes, exactly.
Well, they just don't talk to the media.
They just don't say anything.
Well, they're trained to not say a thing.
Yeah.
If they show up in a headline, I think Pop benches them for two games.
Your job on the radio is to be interesting.
Yes.
Or at least try to be interesting.
Try to be, yeah.
Their job in San Antonio is to not be interesting.
Yeah. No, that is their job. You're right.
You know, Pop came out of a military background, used to be the head coach of the Air Force. It's all about the team. Now, having said that, I'm disappointed he's going there because I don't think we'll ever see his personality now. It's going to be good for his career. Pop develops bigs. He's obviously an elite coach. If what you're worried about is maximizing your career, then San Antonio is a good spot. I always talk about how the NBA is an entertainment league.
Yeah.
I think we were very lucky that Kobe came to L.A. and Duncan went to San Antonio. If you were to reverse those two guys, I don't think Kobe stays in San Antonio. I think he does what Kawhi did, and he gets out.
And I have this, it's not quite a rant, but it's another. I appreciate the players who engage and let themselves be talked about and understand that they are in the entertainment business as well. Like, LeBron is interesting, and he doesn't hide it all away. He puts it out there for everyone to see. He's not afraid to make a headline. He's not afraid to say something.
There's a meme. There's a tweet.
Subtweet,
he does all that
stuff.
All
of it. And not only make yourself part of the storyline, but understand that's part of the job, like part of why the NBA is so successful.
But not in San Antonio.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's the only thing I didn't like. But if you're his agent or you're his parents, he's going to a good spot.
Yeah. All right.
But I'm just disappointed we'll never see his personality now.
Lots of Lakers today. We got tons of it for you. Momo, you want to hang out and do Wheel of Questions?
Sure, why not?
Yeah. It's Ireland's Wheel today. We will spin the Wheel of Questions next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Ooh, this is a good one.
Oh, good.
For all of us.
Excellent.
Okay. What high-level job do you think you could lie your way into with no experience and no one would notice? I'll go first.
Okay.
Okay. I could be for any company. You guys go ahead and make up the company and try me on this.
Yeah.
Okay.
VP of communications.
Oh, that's a good gig.
Yeah.
I will speak for any company and I will not get us in trouble.
Yeah. You know, you're really smart that way.
Yeah.
You're really, I can totally see that. VP of communications. I always thought that after I was done doing this, I could be the VP of communications for the Rams or the Dodgers. I'm trying to get anybody.
You wouldn't be as good as me, but you could.
I would be okay. I would be okay. That's an excellent.
When I was in college, I wanted to be CJ Craig from the West.
Me too. That's my dream. But now, Momo.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good job anymore.
Yeah, I don't need
a tough job.
Can I tell you guys? I once applied for it.
No.
I did. Like, you can apply for any government job on the website. So when, this is a long time ago, Mason, you and I had just started working together.
Okay.
I did it as a bit.
What was it, W?
Yeah, for George W. Bush. So I would have been Ari Fleischer, who was the guy who ended up getting that gig.
Yeah.
But shockingly, they never
went with somebody with experience.
Yeah. But see, I could lie my way into that job and be really good.
I could run ESPN.
Really?
I agree with you.
Yeah. I've worked at every level, so I understand it from the from the bottom.
Can I ask you, can I test you?
Go ahead.
Okay, so we're doing a press conference. You're Jimmy Pitaro. You're running ESPN.
Yep.
Jimmy, I just saw that you hired Pat McAfee. You're going to bring the Pat McAfee show to ESPN, which I think is a great move. Pat's super talented, but you're going to give him millions and millions of dollars. How can you justify that when you just laid off 7,000 people?
Well, you know, we really studied this, and Pat has an audience that translates, that we need to connect to, and our job is to serve sports fans. And we don't hire somebody of this magnitude without running the numbers, and we think he's going to be profitable on every level. You can't drive fan engagement without authenticity, and Pat is authentic. He has an audience that people connect to. Where he's going to be, he's on YouTube, he's on ESPN Plus, he's on linear television. He will pay for himself and then some.
That was an excellent answer.
That was an excellent answer.
That was a fantastic very impressive answer.
Handled that really
all
well.
All right, so you can run ESPN. You can run ESPN.
Because I've been a writer, I've been in radio, I've been in TV.
I believe I could become the assistant program director at ESPN.
Oh, stop.
Alive.
Stop.
Why are you trying to take my job, man?
I could take Craig's job.
Yeah,
no
good luck.
Problem
no
whatsoever. All you have to do is sit on Zoom calls all day long.
Yeah, but you take too much time off to do Greg's job.
Exactly.
It's true.
On Zoom.
I would love one day, let's just switch.
Okay, how about this? Vice President of the United States. Literally,
yeah,
nothing.
You could do that. You could do that.
That is true. You could do that.
All you got to do is like cut ribbons when things open.
And you got to go on some foreign trips, too.
You have to go on some foreign trips. I'm okay. Like, you know, the grand opening of the Walmart, you cut the ribbon. I could do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you
could
do that.
The vice president does that.
You know what I think you could do?
You're never in charge of anything.
No.
Like, you have to. I think you could be like a pretty good. I think, but to me, like, you can sell whatever you want. Right?
Yes,
like
yes.
You can sell whatever position you want, both of you guys.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes
hey, Bergman,
I know
you,
when you're
you
committed.
You know what other job I could be?
What?
Chancellor of UCLA.
Yeah, you could do that.
Oh, that'd be
yeah.
a great job.
No, it's not a great job at all. That's a terrible job. You would hate it every single second. All
Why?
It is.
Because all you're doing is firing people.
No, you're going to donate. You're trying to raise money. Go by shaking
well,
hands with
I
rich
just call
alumni.
Casey Wasserman and tell him to cut me a check.
Yeah, sucking up
that's
to alums.
You,
that's part of the gig.
You
yeah,
suck
you can
up
suck
to
up
alums,
to alums.
You go to Board of Regents
oh, I'm
meetings.
I'm an excellent suck up.
You listen to yeah.
Just ask LeBron.
Oh, Bergman.
Bergman gets in the shot.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
It was sitting. Hey guys,
Bergman, what about you?
I think I'm doing the job I'm best at.
No. You can lie yourself into another. Could you lie yourself into program director?
Yes, could I could lie myself into. Yeah, I can. I can think I can lie myself into like a GM position, a higher, even one higher.
So okay. I could do something. I don't want to do something.
Yeah.
This is not something I would want to do, but I could do it. I'm pretty good at it, like being undercover. Like,
what do you mean undercover?
Like I'm a, like if I had to play a
like
role,
like a spy.
I could.
You'd be like that commercial where that guy hides in the trash can and sticks
the antenna
out the trash can. You've watched too much Homeland. You are no Claire Danes.
No, like I need to play a role, like in, and I have to represent a certain position. Like I can be that person for a while. I'm not talking high level spycraft. Yeah. I'm talking about you need information on somebody. You need someone to get close to somebody to get
secret
information.
Secret agent Momo.
I'd be good.
Oh God.
I don't want to do it.
That's funny.
It's too dangerous for
no,
me.
No, secret agent Anthony, Momo. We'll never Anthony see her Pelicano. Coming.
I got. I know. I sneak up on people. Short. You don't see her coming.
Jorge, what about you?
I recently helped with my brother's baseball team. The coach was running late or whatever. And
okay.
I helped them warm up. So something with the athletic training. Like, I don't know what I'm doing for baseball. I'm like, hey, just play catch.
Could you be a third base coach?
Something like that, yeah.
Third base coach.
You've already passed the first test.
Yeah.
You told him to go play catch instead of saying have a catch.
Let's go have a catch.
Seriously.
Say have a catch, you're fine.
First base coach would be good. First base coach doesn't do all that much except talks to the –
Either of these high-level jobs is something I want.
Yeah.
You know, what I actually want to do is get one of those cushy executive jobs where your whole job is like flying around, going to conferences, speaking on panels, wining and dining the advertisers and the clients, building relationships with the leagues. That's a great job.
I want a job where I know that there's a golden parachute at the end of it.
If you get fired, you get
fired. You get $50 million. Yeah. Thanks for coming. Thanks for playing. All that kind of stuff. That's good. That's good. All right. There's your wheel of questions for today. So, John, one of the things you always say players don't necessarily pay attention to stuff in the media, right?
Some players. Some do. Most don't.
Do you know that AD has unfollowed Stephen A. Smith?
I do know this.
Now, AD had to have heard at some point that he was being mocked after the whole wheelchair basketball thing that happened when he took the shot in the head. So he unfollowed Stephen A. So obviously, AD is somebody who hears and pays attention, right?
I'm proud of him.
Yeah.
I think that I would have done exactly the same thing. Here's my take on this. I'm obviously somebody not as high profile as AD, but I'm in a high profile position where a lot of people are going to criticize me. I have no problem with people who criticize me, who tweet me, who email me and say, hey, I wish you would do this differently. I wish you'd do that.
You suck.
But people who just do what Stephen A. did, which was basically accuse him of faking a concussion.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think that's worth my headspace. I only have so much headspace. And I need a lot to keep up with the Real Housewives.
You know, there's a joke in there about how much headspace you got,
you
John.
You do have a lot of headspace.
Yeah, more than most. Yeah. And but I don't, you know, AD doesn't need to hear Stephen A. saying he's faking a concussion. I thought what Stephen A. did was ridiculous.
I did too. I thought it was.
I would have done exactly what AD did. Do you guys use the mute feature on Twitter?
No, I block people. I'm a Tumbo.
Mute is the best. Always use the
best
mute button.
Because you block them without them knowing you block them.
Oh, that's like a big F you, isn't it?
No, I want
them
to
know. You're going to keep tweeting me, and I'm never going to see it.
Yeah, right. I want them to know I blocked them.
See, I like the people that come with the hate. Like, I don't mind seeing it.
It depends on, you're not getting the kind of hate we're getting.
What do you mean?
I mean,
I'm the one saying stupid crap on the radio.
I mean, okay, like, for example, the other day I was just getting roasted by Laker fans because I had picked against them against the Warriors. How could you, Momo?
Yeah, I agree, how could you?
They're the
defending
champs.
I think that might have been my tweet. How could you, Momo?
How could you? I'm like, first of all, I'm supposed to be a national NBA reporter. So when I write a story about the Warriors, it doesn't mean I'm rooting against your other team. I cover all the teams in the league, right? All 30 of them, mostly the top 10, but theoretically all 30, right? And like, it's not like I picked the Warriors because they're the defending champs. It's not any slight against the Lakers. It was a hard pick, but Steph Curry is Steph Curry and they won last year. So when you play the defending champs, you pick them until they lose. That's just how it works. I mean, in sports, it's a sign of respect for the defending champions. Who
even
have
if you don't
titles.
Think it's true?
Did
you think that was true, or were you just giving it to the champs?
No, I thought it was an even series, and I thought tie goes to the defending champs. Like, if I don't know they have home court advantage and they're defending champs, I'm going to give them the... I have to say this, and I'll be real about it. I thought Steve Kerr and his staff have been in so many playoff battles. I thought that playoff experience with the coaching staffs was going to play in the Warriors' favor. And Darvin Ham and his staff did a great... They proved all of us wrong.
So, YouTube... What?
Oh, no.
Guy on YouTube, in your response to whether or not you felt good about the... Yeah, whatever, Ramona.
See,
yeah, whatever.
That's insightful.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, whatever, Ramona.
It's fine. Yeah. That stuff is fine. Most people, like, if you come at me with, like, I can't believe you, how could you? That's fine. That's all in good fun.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, no.
You know, I think I should
get
credit.
What about the thing about you getting money from Steve Ballmer?
Oh, that's funny, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm waiting for the check.
You know she's on the payroll for Steve Ballmer.
Ramona and Arash?
Yeah, both.
They must have
Ramona
the wrong address. Like, maybe they need a new direct deposit.
Yeah,
service.
They should.
I don't know. Where is that? Where is that?
All right. You know what we do about this time every day? We do the 2 o'clock call of the day.
Oh,
Momo, thank you very much for coming in. We appreciate you as always. And by the way, I should point out, Momo is picking the Lakers in 6.
Yeah, I'm done picking against LeBron.
There you go.
He's too close now.
Yes.
He's too close.
Don't tell that to Tim in the OC. He thinks LeBron should be traded.
Tim in the OC. All right, 877-710-ESPN. This is where we're looking for your hottest take, your biggest rant, your most insightful commentary. 877-710-ESPN. The 2 o'clock call of the day is next. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.
How do you like that one?